We are the Beer Amigos. We like beer. We are amigos. And that's why we call ourselves the Beer Amigos.
Everybody.
We are the Beer Amigos. We like beer.
Hey, this is Travis.
And this is Mike.
And we are the Beer Amigos! Mike, why don't you tell everybody where we are right now?
We are in the comforts of your own home.
You mean the studio?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're in the studio.
We are joined by this fine gentleman, Paul of Blind Bat Brewery.
Paul DeLubikinski.
Oh, well done.
You took the challenge. Hey. I was thinking about it on the way here. I was like, you know, I was like, respect the man's last name. Slaughter it. Because some people do that to my name. So I was like, wow, Trev.
Well, people have a hard time with your last name.
And it's pretty kind of great.
What do they say? Like Howell?
Like Holland. I'm like, oh, Holland.
Wow. That's nice.
I'm like, my name is English. It's pretty kind of great.
Well, I know Paul's because he's from Senapur, not from Senapur. And I
look center portion.
Yeah, and I look at his mail. So
yeah.
I had time to study.
Thank you for the bills. PSG.
How many syllables is it, Trev?
Five.
Yeah.
So we're here, we're in the studio. We haven't been in the studio in quite some time, but we're happy to have Paul with us.
He's a Centerport local celebrity.
Yeah, he is.
Happy to be here. Thank you. Yeah.
You're the Blind Batmobile.
It's true. Right. Anytime I talk beer with, like, you know, non-normal people that I run into, they're like, yeah, like, I see him drive around Centerport sometimes. I was like, yeah, that's Paul.
Yeah. I try not to hit people because I've got the branding on me. I can't give anybody the finger. I've got to be nice.
That could be a cool t-shirt, like the Blind Batmobile.
Yeah. When you hit someone, you get out and you pull the magnet off, right?
Right, yeah.
You're like, I'm good. Then you put him in the trunk.
And I can't speak English. You know.
I think I even told Paul when I went up to the mechanic, probably like a year ago, his car was up there, and it was
oh,
like,
yeah, Bruce.
And it was like, yeah, it was like spotting Obama's like limo. I was like, well, the Blind Batmobile,
the Batmobile, just go with that, Trev. Yeah. That's more favorable across demographics.
Awesome.
And I'm colorblind, so it's appropriate. The car is white rather than black.
That's
so
right.
Who knows what's going on? The next one will be black.
It looks great, nonetheless.
Thanks.
I like your logo. I appreciate it. So
I do.
Oh, thank you.
I do too. So, Mike, why don't we get to it? You're the king of these interviews.
Ooh.
He is.
Yeah, it's great
you
to have
you
here. You've
got to be good at something.
If you frequently, you know, listen to us or follow us, you definitely know that we frequently discuss Paul, talk about him. Good things, Paul. Good things.
No, thank you. No, actually, I'm a frequent listener, first-time guest. So, yeah, thank you.
So, this is the man in the flesh.
Yes.
Or the voice of the man
in the
flesh.
Not as tactile in audio.
He's a gem, but nonetheless, he's here visiting us. So this is pretty great, you know, to have you here. This is our first brewer in studio.
That's true.
That's kind of cool.
You've had on site, like at festival.
But in terms of in the studio. Yeah.
It's a little bit more casual setting. Yeah. And
Nico Kremitas was our first in studio guest.
Right. He rode up on his motorcycle.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
May Marshmallow, also a guest on an episode.
Yes,
rest in Mars, peace.
Yeah. Then he took over. I think he was ready to kick you both out and be the one and only amigo.
Yep.
Sounds accurate.
I'm familiar with your work.
Thank you, Paul. It means a lot to us.
That's fine.
All right, Paul. So, you've definitely heard snippets and whatnot of beers we've had at festivals, conversation. But I feel like this is a really great opportunity to kind of revisit that in an overview, get a really current analysis and perspective and perception of where your business is right now.
Yeah.
So, first, let's maybe discuss some of the beers that you've been brewing recently. Trav brought a really good point to my attention that you've been doing a lot of collaborations.
Yeah, which was a lot of fun. The first one I did was 2 years ago with Dan and Greg at Long Island. We did a Saison, which we think went over pretty well. And the whole experience of collaborating with another brewery is a lot of fun because everybody comes to things from different angles and you kind of mix it up and it's a great community As I'm sure everyone is, you've heard everyone said, it's, you know, 99%, I don't know, can I say, asshole free?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, we That's like, the famous quote by, you know, I think it was Sam from Dogfish Head.
I love
came
that.
Up with that one.
Well, there's always got to be that guy.
There's always that guy somewhere. I, you know, I'm not pointing fingers.
Yeah. But he's out there.
And it worked. Yeah.
That son of a bitch is
I'm going to get him. Okay. First I have to take the decals off the car, then I get it. Anyways. And then, yeah, recently, most recently, went over and brewed in Queens, which is geographically part of Long Island. Finback guys, Basil and Kevin. They opened up just earlier this year. They're terrific brewers. They were home brewers, part of this homebrew, this Brooklyn tour that Joshua Bernstein used to take people around. You could just kind of, he would take you different people's houses in Brooklyn.
Right.
And
I know
and
we follow Josh on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway, so they were kind of, you know, superstars of that tour, and they finally got their brewery going. The cleanest brewery I've ever seen. We'll see after a couple of years if they keep it as clean, but it looked, it was beautiful. Like, eat off the floor. But so we brewed, we kind of knocked ideas around. We came up with a mild ale, but out of style for ABV, a bit higher in alcohol, using smoked, cherry wood smoked malt. First time I ever brewed with commercially smoked malt. Smelled great. It was fun to do. It would be out of the fermenter a couple of weeks.
And who approached who for the collaboration?
They contacted me.
Great.
Yeah. And then Larry from Spiderbite and I, we recently were at the SeaTuck Foundation down in Islip, South Shore.
Right.
Environmental
Bats and
Brews. It's an environmental foundation. Great place to go. Bring the kids. They've got all sorts of trails and exhibits and stuff down there.
Yeah.
But they do this thing. Telefono.
I think that's Paul's agent.
Yeah.
Agent on the line.
Yeah.
We've breached a subject.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Yes. Did I sign an NDA with Larry on that? Because I think he wants to brew the... We brewed a double together. And we definitely want to tweak the recipe. Basically, it was a double. By the numbers, double. But we used local organic figs that I oven roasted.
Oh, nice.
So we brewed that here in Centerport.
I want to eat that.
And, well, yeah, the figs afterwards were kind of interesting. Yeah. So Larry's kind of famous for never being happy. As good as incredible as his beers are, he always wants to tweak it further. He recently released Spiderbite their Session IPA, which some blind taste test was named top Session IPA, and it was up against national brands, just local stuff. And he was pouring some of that at the SeaTuck Bats and Brews thing, and it was awesome. I said, "This is fantastic." It was. Yeah, I'm thinking of changing it a little. It's like, just brew something different if you want to change it. You know, he's never happy.
Don't tinker. If you brew something great, don't over.
Just make a different beer. Yeah. You know, twist it that way.
He brewed that great black IPA for the Beer Amigos Winterfest last year. And it was amazing.
He brewed an awesome quad for the North Fork Festival two or three years ago.
All right,
and I feel like the same thing every time we tell him it's great. He's like, it's probably going to change. But it is.
Yeah,
right. I'm looking forward to his location. Right. Is it Holbrook, right?
Holbrook. Yeah. Not far from St. James Brewery. He's going to be opening up nearby there, too.
I assume that's going to be in St. James.
Absolutely not. The brewer's name is Jamie. He named it St. James. But it's going to be in Holbrook, like pretty close to Spiderbite.
Right.
Jamie's a terrific brewer also. He's been at some of the festivals, the smaller festivals. He kind of specializes in Belgian styles.
Not to get away from Blind Bat, but I've enjoyed. Yeah, he had some. It was the festival we went to in February, at the Aerospace.
Place. Oh, the Hops and Props.
Hops and Props. We had St. James stuff. Okay. It was great. Yeah. So looking forward to that.
But actually, one more collaboration in the works. Steve Paminski, Barrage, in Farmingdale.
I love Steve.
Steve's great. Steve's a madman.
He is a madman. I love him.
Truth.
Yeah, right. We're knocking around an idea since we're both of Polish heritage.
Okay.
Brewing a beer using only Polish hops. So we're thinking in the spring, because we're thinking it might be a wheat beer.
Very nice.
And there's, you know, so we're still working on the recipe.
Okay.
An homage to your heritage.
Yeah, that's cool. So that's the fun thing. You get into the kitchen with somebody else, because brewing is a lot like cooking. And, you just play with ingredients and whatnot, and it's just fun.
Great.
And then this beer.
Yeah, that's a great part. And actually, I've written down in my notes, you also brew the collaboration beer with the New York Cork Report.
Oh, yes. Gosh, I forgot. Yes, the Thai PA. That was interesting because it took so long for me to get around to doing it.
That was years, though, right? Plural.
Years, like 2 years?
Okay, that's what I thought.
I hope not more
I
than
felt
that.
Like I felt like I read that on Nico's blog.
Yeah. Len Thompson is basically more of a wine guy, but he actually loves hoppy IPAs. So I think I failed him on the IPA because it was not as hoppy as he was hoping for.
But originality.
Well, I think we're probably going to do IPA 2, which will be a hoppier version of it, but still brew the IPA that I put out last month. I think September we brewed it out. I only use one hop, Citra, which gives it a tropical fruit character. Mm-hmm. Then I added Thai basil, lemongrass, and ginger. Otherwise, pale ale malt recipe.
Right. And if anyone's not aware, the New York Cork Report is a website dedicated to news, reviews, and commentary on the New York wine industry.
Yes, and actually it's expanded to beer as well. It's got a beer columnist and folks who write about wine all over the state. And Len is primarily a wine guy, and but he does love himself them hoppy beers.
Yeah, we've met him a few times at the Rocky Point Cask Festival.
Yep.
In January, when it usually snows.
Oh my God, and it will again.
It's pretty much guaranteed.
Yeah.
Paul, when can we expect to see the sequel of Taipei?
I think that'll be next year, hopefully springish, if not summerish. I am at the mercy of the ingredients. I like to use the locally grown basil as opposed to, I don't know where else I can get it. You know, it's a seasonal ingredient. My wife grew some of it. Her friend Mary Callanan, who is a semi-retired Irish-American nurse, but really from Ireland. She and her whole family, they got great accents. She is a part-time farmer. She leases some land in Old Westbury. Some guy's got an estate. More land he knows what to do with.
Right.
She actually grew the potatoes for the last Long Island potato stout, and she grew the next batch, which actually I have at home. I have to scrub them and peel them, and that's what I'll probably be doing tomorrow. So,
That's awesome. That's definitely something I want to come back to you, without a doubt, your use of local ingredients.
Definitely.
But I just want to touch upon one thing fast, because I feel like it would be negligent on our part not to at least, you know, revisit it. It's just the 2-year anniversary of the Surge Protector.
Oh, yeah. Sandy Relief.
So maybe you could give us a little bit of insight as to how that went and, like, how that came, you know, obviously how we know how it came to life in regards to the storm.
But,
but your role in that and really how that came together.
Well, it was actually, again, brewing community is everyone's really supportive of each other. It's competitive in a healthy way as far as, you know, people respect each other's work, but no one's looking to cut each other's throats. And if someone's in dire need of some help, like, you know, like Barrier, like Barrier was, you know, I'm not even sure who came up with the idea, to be honest with you. I just knew that all of a sudden this thing was circulating around. So each of the brewers brought at least a sack of malt.
Yeah, it's great.
The recipe formulation session was a little scattered because it was too many people at the table.
Right.
So I kind of pretty much deferred to the consensus, which is what the beer turned out to be, which I think was a really good beer.
But you're like, all hands on deck. Okay, maybe we don't need that many.
Yeah. It was too much of a committee approach, you know.
Three hands on deck.
Yeah. Three is probably the most you want collaborating on the recipe formulation. But
So a great testament to everyone you know, being committed to what the overall cause was.
Right, and then so half the proceeds went to Barrier, and the other half went to Long Island Cares to help, you know, people who needed food.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
It's good stuff.
2 years.
Yeah. 2 years, yeah.
That went fast.
Definitely. I mean, I know for me, being a South Shore guy, like, I saw a lot of damage, like, up close. A lot of, even my friends' watermarks that were 4 feet high on their walls, and so forth. So, just to revisit that, and, you know, we don't want to forget about something like that, because it's a really great effort and collaboration by everyone.
Yeah, and a true testament to the Long Island craft beer community.
Right. Because we need the somber music underneath, like, the Oscars, and, you know, remembering who passed away.
Ready? I'm going to say, if we pause right now, that's where I will have added the music.
Nice. Hopefully, we don't get, like, the play to cut. Like, they're like, okay, you've thanked too many people. But nonetheless, good stuff. So let's come back to that, you know, let's come back to the fact of using as local many ingredients. Local ingredients as possible.
Yeah. Besides water.
Besides the obvious.
Right.
You did mention that, you know, you use some locally grown basil and potatoes from the aforementioned farm. But maybe you can give us a little bit more of a local yet global perspective as to where you get a lot of your things.
Well, I mean, the bulk of it I get commercially, like every other brewer, from, you know, the big suppliers of malt and hops, because Long Island, New York State, much less Long Island, really is not a big producer of either of those you know, they're working on it. You know, there's John Kinsella, who's a real pioneer here on Long Island for, you know, for getting hops to be a farm product again in New York State. Long ways to go. So most of the stuff, you know, I get, like everybody else, you know, from a truck.
But when you can
get... We grow some hops in our yard, and then, so once a year at least I'll brew Long Island Pale Ale, which is only using Long Island hops, so combination of stuff that we grew, stuff that I bought from John Kinsella. Otherwise, you know, again, you know, playing with different ingredients, potatoes, sweet potatoes, basil, coriander, different types of basils, and then looking at figs now, maybe a lavender and fig thing, talking about playing around with the figs for the collaboration with Larry. There's a local farm in Huntington called Machinasian Farm. It's primarily a poultry farm, but he also grows organic berries and vegetables and things like that. So they're on Cuba Hill Road.
Okay, I don't believe I've heard of that.
So
I'm sure I've passed it.
You probably passed it and go, what's going on over there? They usually have animals out front.
Right.
You see the Batmobile, you're like, they're picking up some ingredients.
Yeah, we get our turkey there every year for Thanksgiving, so yeah.
Nice, absolutely.
And was that something going into brewing beer? Did you know before Blind Bat, you know, started brewing that you were going to be using local ingredients?
It's kind of evolved. It's just kind of evolved. Okay. You know, my wife's an organic grower and she'd been a farmer for hire, so it just kind of just came about naturally.
Right.
You know, hey, what about this? Oh, yeah, why not? All right.
And she's grown the potatoes before?
Yes. She's grown the potatoes. There's also Sang Lee Farms out in Peconic. His potatoes. He's at the Northport Farmers Market. That's where I got to meet him. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, even just for people that follow you on social medias, I feel like it's kind of obvious that you care about, you know, doing those things as much as possible, but also like reusing things. I know that your wife uses your spent grains to bake goods.
Yeah. Sometimes bake and sometimes compost like everybody else, but also she got a grant to study. She wrote a grant proposal and she got awarded that to study spent grain as a direct applied mulch in farm fields.
Oh, wow.
And turns out she used it on onions primarily, and not only were the weeds easier to deal with, because if you're an organic grower, you can't really be using the typical pesticides and weed killers and all that stuff. So not only did it help with the weed control, but also the yield on the onions. The onions were freaking huge. They're like softballs.
Oh, that's awesome.
Or bigger. So
natural miracle growth.
So. Because here on Long Island, we don't have typically a lot of breweries. What they do is they'll ship out the spent grains to for cattle feed or pigs. Whatever.
Right.
We don't have a lot of animals being raised on Long Island. So, but there are plenty of farms in Suffolk County that, you know, maybe they'll start taking spent grains. So.
Yeah,
that would be awesome. I mean,
it's important.
It's kind of the downside to, you know, the cost of living being so high, where like from a square footage standpoint and just acreage, you're paying an exorbitant amount. So, it doesn't necessarily correlate to that type of person occupying the commercial land or farmland, rather, for agricultural reasons. Although it's awesome, and I feel like everyone on Long Island appreciates that that entity of the island when they go out east.
Right.
You know, they do their seasonal things, whether it's apple picking, pumpkin picking, so on and so forth.
It's a whole different world, it seems like, for most of us.
Right, because, you know, growing up in a more dense, typical suburban environment, you don't see the farms that used to be surrounding us here.
Yeah. So. You can see Mike prancing the fields.
It's true.
Out there.
Sometimes in the morning when there's a dew.
Right.
I like to slip and slide across the sod fields.
Right. Is that San Sombrero?
It depends. Depends on the exact time that I'm out there.
All right.
That sounds like a perfect Beer Amigos event, like slip and slide on the dew. If you can make it with the sombrero not flying off your head, you get a point. And the first person at 10 points wins.
And it sounds like a song. I think you could write.
Mike is slipping on the dew. Mike is slipping on the dew.
True.
We love talking to Greenport Harbor because I know they're getting into, or they've been getting into the use of local ingredients. I know they were growing their own barley.
Hops. When they have the connection with the Wisnowski family.
Right, which is family farm.
Right. There's a lot of Wisnowskis out. You go out to the East End, just yell Wisnowski.
And are they all his family?
37 people.
They're all related, different branches and all that.
Right.
But, so that's awesome.
We love talking about that. They see the importance of that, and Mike and I see the importance of that.
And they've got some land at their disposal, so why not?
Beautiful. Have you been there yet, Mike?
No, unfortunately not.
It's nice. You could definitely slip across the dew.
There you go.
You have plenty of room to do that.
And put it on my bucket list.
Well, now we also recently heard you have a new beer, Midnight Train to Jodhpur.
Jodhpur. Jodhpur. It's a city in India.
Right.
Can you say that again, Paul?
Midnight Train to Jodhpur. Instead of Midnight Train to Georgia.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I appreciated that. You know, your enunciation.
Oh, right.
Enunciation and pronunciation.
Yeah, hopefully it's absolutely. Not skirting that fine line of getting it right and not being offensive.
Yeah,
right?
No, absolutely.
Right. So is that going to be the newest Blind Bat beer to be released?
That's been the newest new beer. I'm going to brew that after the Long Island Potato Stout, which would be next week.
Okay.
And that's going to be a black IPA.
And you had a problem saying, I think I read something on Facebook, you didn't like that black IPA terminology.
Well, it seems, yeah, but actually I'm being forced to use it by the federal government.
Right, okay.
Those bastards. That 1%.
Yeah, right. No, it is, yeah. Because, well, you know, black, pale, it's they seem like opposite terms.
They definitely do.
But, you know, well, I need rum. I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I have other things to fight.
One incentive for it. Yeah.
So I've got two ideas for two black IPAs. One is going to be the Midnight Train, which is basically going to be an American IPA hopping levels.
Okay.
I want to use some of the hops like Citra that give you, or Galaxy that give you like some of the tropical fruit.
Right.
But also none more black.
With N-U-N.
N-U-N.
Right.
But still, you know. Spinal Tap reference.
I love Spinal Tap. It's none more black.
Yes, yeah. Which could be blacker.
Yeah.
None. The answer is none.
It's none more black.
None more black. That one I want to just make is the hoppiest thing I can. I just, as much hops in there, like super imperial double IPA level, but black.
Your that label will fun. Be an homage to the Spinal Tap logo.
Well, the label is actually...
It would just be black.
Yeah, it has a lot of black in there. And a little nun in there on the other thing. Yeah,
can you at least throw like a little like amp dial with 11? Like somewhere
maybe,
in the
maybe work that in yeah. Some this, people will get it.
This beer goes to 11?
I mean, if I can make it 11% ABV, then there you go.
This beer goes
that'd
to 11%.
Sweet.
Yeah. I think that's what I'm going to have to do now.
You've heard it here
Mike,
first.
We got trademarked that before.
Right.
So Mark, when Mark does it, when Mike.
Yeah.
What do I say Mark and Mike and
when,
Paul?
When that's Paul, right.
Well,
Mike,
trademark.
Paul.
That'll be beautiful.
Yeah. And you are?
Travis.
Yeah, that's good. So you remember your own name.
All day, every day.
And where,
well, wife,
and where you live.
My wife
okay.
refers to me as the man.
When company's here.
Yeah, but she
respect.
Says it in quotes. So
right. Yeah, there's a little sarcasm in there.
Hey, this
the
is
man,
this is
right.
Mike, and this is the man.
Right.
We are the Beer Amigos. So when can we expect at least Midnight Train to Jodhpur?
I was going to talk to you about that, because I know you've got the thing at the Cortland coming up in December.
We do.
I was thinking none more black for that one, but I just learned, since I didn't attend last year, whenever it was, you said Larry did a black IPA for you already.
He did. Well, that was 2 years ago. That was 2 years ago.
Yeah,
last year,
passed, yeah.
Last year he did something with the chili pepper.
Oh.
Unless it was the black IPA with chili pepper.
And Long Ireland also.
And Long Ireland did their...
Cask
of their winter beer with like
winter ale.
Significant more cinnamon and candy cane.
Wow.
And yes, our Beer Amigos Winterfest is on December 19th. Friday, December 19th.
Trev, you had a little
apprehension about it. We just booked it.
All right.
The fourth annual. And Paul is going to be there, Paul and Blind
Bat. I'll be brewing something.
It's going to sound delicious. When you tell us what you're bringing.
He'll be bringing the Dark Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that.
Right. If I like candy canes, I'd make some of the candy canes, but I can't stand them. So.
Yeah.
That's all right.
I wish I liked them.
Yeah.
I like them less and less every year, which is how my take on pumpkin beer has been, too.
Uh-huh.
Every year I like pumpkin beer significantly less.
Yeah,
to the point where now I just don't even think I like pumpkin beer.
Well,
it kind of bums me
put
out
your nose
a little
up at
bit.
It
if you start drinking in August,
yeah. When you go to Buffalo Wild Wings and people are like sweaty and they're drinking pumpkin beer.
Yeah.
Why are they sweaty?
Because it's August.
They're like 300-pound high school linemen.
Right. Oh, they're also the wings and the high meat.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
They ordered the Satan's asshole hot wings.
So I also saw that Midnight Train to Jodhpur is going to be brewed using New York State. Multibar.
Oh, yeah, that one, actually, yes, because I did buy some, there's a malt house in Massachusetts,
okay.
Valley Malt, lady's name is Andrea, can't remember her last name, anyways, she can use malt from New York State. She can certify that, you know, because she's such a small operation, she can say, yes, this is definitely, this batch was from this farm. It's in Penn Yan, upstate or whatever. So, I bought some Saxon malt from her for that. So,
and will this be your first beer actually using New York State malted barley?
No. Okay. There was a thing in New York City, either earlier this year or last year, and I used her malt for a New York State malt version of Hellgate Golden Ale.
Ooh,
she had a Vienna malt that I used. So
I don't know if Mike knows, but I'm a big fan of Hellgate.
Oh, good. Thanks.
Hopefully you know.
No,
every time I go to Old Fields and Green Lawn, I get so excited. I'm like, yeah, they got Hellgate.
On the way here today, I was like, that restaurant looks like I'd want to eat there.
It's really good.
Old Fields is really great.
It's really, really good. And I love the environment. It's just cozy.
They've done great things.
Like warm.
Yeah, they did great things with that place. I went in there 2000-ish.
Okay.
Previous owners. It was like going into some old aunt's house. It was different. And then, you know.
Smell like mothballs.
And yeah, right. And then typical steakhouse thing. Oh, you want a little tiny little cup of cream spinach with the steak. Well, that's another $15. It's like, you know.
That damn a la carte menu.
Yeah. But, no, love Old Fields.
The food is
terrific and you know, reasonably priced.
It is. Mike,
and very comfortable.
And they have a burger that's sandwiched between two different grilled cheese sandwiches.
Oh, man.
It's
like the
burger.
Fatty McFatty.
Burger.
Yeah.
And actually, not this previous time, but the time prior to that, I ate it.
And that's when Melissa started calling you the man.
And the guy actually high-fived me. Because he looked at me, you know, I'm like 100 and like...
Oh, right. He's like, this guy can't put that on.
135 pounds or whatever it is.
And he thought you were just going to eat the grilled cheese.
Just stick the cheese off the plate. That's it. Right.
It was good. So.
Right. And they almost always have Long Island on tap, so
yes.
That's a good place to go.
Yeah, it's nice to see when... the local restaurants that are of the chain variety support the local breweries.
Well, it's not really, it's not a chain. I mean, it's a small restaurant group, but yeah. I mean, Old Fields is not a chain.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, though, you know, supporting the local local guys.
More and more places are doing it, so that's good.
And it's
good
great
for everybody.
I'm sure you agree, living here in Centerport, we have Huntington, we have Greenlawn, we have Northport, and there's great places in all three towns
Have
great beer, whereas before I moved here and we'd come back and I'd visit my parents 8 years ago, 9 years ago, there wasn't, you know.
Right.
Granted, they were significantly less Long Island craft beer on the island.
True.
But a lot of these places seem to really be embracing
the
community, which is it's nice for people like us who like to have good beer with dinner.
Right, yeah. Because
it could ruin it could ruin a good beer.
Your best choice might be Michelob. You're like,
Hey, fellow beer geeks, this is Dave from Belport Cold Beer and Soda, and you are listening to the Beer Amigos.
All right, so let's back up a few seasons. I feel like during the summer I saw a bottle that said something along the lines of a summer hell smoke.
Yes. This past summer, just playing around, because I have, when I brought hell smoke out in previous summers, I had some people say, I like it, but it's really heavy and hot outside, and I don't know if I want it. Yeah, so I lightened the body a little bit, and I played with a little bit, add a little wild yeast to it.
Okay.
I have fermenters I can open up. So it
came out
a little, so it came out as a lighter-bodied, slightly tart version of the Hellsmoke Porter.
Interesting.
And some guy kept coming in from Brooklyn to buy it, because he said he was like, he was just nuts for it.
And this was the first summer you did that?
This is the first time I did it, yeah.
That's smart.
I feel like I would like to try that.
Yeah.
Because Hellsmoke's a little bit, like, heavy for me, personally.
Okay, see? Yeah, there you go.
So I can definitely appreciate the different perspective and as someone that's also a vinyl collector, I could appreciate the variant.
Oh, yeah.
I do have some Blind Bat Battles downstairs.
Okay.
When we made the move to the house, I packaged everything up, so I have...
Oh, nice.
I must have like 50, 60 bottles downstairs. I don't know if I'll ever take them out of the
that's a cellar.
Box.
Right.
No, sorry. They're I already drank them. I saved the bottles.
Okay, all right.
That's
like
called hoarding.
I thought that's what you meant by collecting.
No,
like.
I can appreciate that too, because I mean, I know... You have, like, the Dogfish lineup. And
I do,
You know,
I save one of each of those bottles.
I like that, too, because, like, I mean, the art, you can appreciate the artwork and stuff like that.
Right,
so
yeah.
I know that Sam, especially, like, he just did the... He switched all his seasonals to, like, Jermaine Rogers.
The local artist. He's not local, though.
He's
an artist.
He's from... he lives and resides in Brooklyn now.
Okay.
He's from Texas prior.
Those bottles.
And I really like him as a... He does, like, a lot of screen print art and, like, music poster art.
Yeah.
So I thought it was cool that he incorporated that. He's previously used Tara McPherson, too, who I believe is also possibly a Brooklyn artist.
Yeah.
But it's cool to, like, use those different arts. Like, people, you know, you're expressing yourself in a multitude
of
ways.
Like, yeah.
Whether it be brewing or actual artistry. Like, you know, drawing or painting.
Yeah, graphic art.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
I definitely went out and bought other bottles, just like had the new bottle.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, that's, and then the marketing's working.
Yeah, I did drink it. I'm a big fan of fresh beer. I don't really...
Sure.
I don't age beer. I don't know. I just like fresh beer.
Most beers are better fresh. But yeah, some beers are.
I'm always a fan of
keep them there. You know,
fresh. Scott from Ghost Cat would always say that too. He's like, dude, just drink it fresh, man. I'm right. Like, yeah, I feel the same way. I love it.
I have a pretty good, more beer than I care to admit tucked away. But it's got to be the correct style of beer aging. So.
Yeah, if I have a summer beer that I can drink this summer, I'll obviously save it till next summer. But I guess that's aging, but it's not on purpose.
It's accidental.
Yeah, accidental.
I actually have seven-year-old cans of Bud Coors Light in my basement freezer refrigerator.
Does the can still turn blue if you
No. These we kept in the house when my dad would come to visit.
Oh, that's great. You told me this previously.
Yeah. So
gotta hold on to this.
I have got two left, I think. I pop them up on Father's Day. You
know? That's cool. We definitely have had or touched upon this conversation at some point.
Yeah.
Because that's what my dad drinks also. Yeah. I'm always like, oh, dad. But, you know, at the end of the day, you have to drink what you like.
That's how I feel about it. What makes you happy, you know, life's too short to, you know, force yourself to try something. Well, you try stuff. You should try stuff. But definitely. Just drink what makes you happy.
That's why I never understood the terminology, you know, beer snob. I like beer geek because it's like why pass judgment on someone if they like something.
Right, Beer geek
don't
is good.
Don't be a snob. Be a beer geek.
Right. There are some snobs, kind of but geeks are cool.
Yeah.
I like beer geek.
Hey, as long as someone maintains an open mind to potentially at least try something that's out of their normal
comfort zone.
You might be surprised. Just like you might like old Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Just like you when you auditioned for American Idol last year. That was out of your comfort zone.
Totally out of my comfort zone. I'm usually just singing to myself in the mirror in the bathroom.
I think we could tell everyone that wasn't true. We did have a few people come up to us. Because Mike wasn't around to attend a beer festival a few years ago. So I went by myself and I told everyone that he was auditioning for American Idol.
I believe that was true.
Oh, there you go. So
I felt bad and I didn't hear anything like had happened good. And I was like, well, I don't want to ask if it's a sore point. Like, how'd that go? I didn't get it.
Well, I guess that actually proves my wife's point where she says, when you're joking around, you seem really serious sometimes. I love you, honey.
Also on the audio podcast, a wink doesn't really carry.
No.
The silence is Travis winking.
we like trying to be goofy on the Beer Amigos.
So,
yeah, that's for you, enjoy.
Hey, Miller High Life.
Someone did leave a Miller High Life here. Or it's our housewarming party.
Was
over
it my
a year
Uncle
ago?
Perry?
It was my cousin James.
So I do absolutely enjoy when I see. You discussed dropping like bottles off at, you know, distributing it to, you know, a retailer or a restaurant. And I'm always like, yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Like, yeah, especially because you had brewed the sweet potato saison for the Blue Point Cask Ales Festival. And then you brewed it again, I think bottled it after that. And I was like, oh, that was so good. Yeah, I was definitely excited to see that because... It's a great thing because people, you know, not everyone can attend those, like, those smaller scale Cask Ales festivals, and, you know, it gives them an opportunity to have those beers.
Yeah, for sure.
That we enjoy so much and celebrate and share when we do interviews and review beers that we had for the day. Perhaps you can tell us a little bit about your current state of affairs with your location.
The location. Well, still in the garage.
That's great.
A short walk from here.
Yes.
Yeah, we thought we had something lined up for Northport Village, which would have been fun, but had some disagreements with the landlord after we got the planning and zoning board approval, so we lost a lot of time. We lost about 6 months there. Mm. Since then, been looking at a lot of different places, trying to keep somewhere western Suffolk, eastern Nassau.
Okay.
We've also been having really good talks with, there's a company, Renaissance Downtowns, they're a real estate developer, they're looking to revitalize Huntington Station. Mm-hmm. They're also working on projects, a couple of cities up and down the East Coast, a bunch here on Long Island. And we really would love, my wife Regina is also now my business partner, but we would really love to be part of revitalization of Huntington Station if possible.
Mm-hmm.
We looked around to see if there's any existing buildings. There wasn't anything, so now we're talking with them about new construction, something on New York Avenue, just north of the train station.
Okay.
So between the village proper and the railroad station. But that's at least, they say a year and a half. I think, okay, that's two and a half years before that's going to happen. So we've been looking at smaller spaces, kind of inspired by what we were looking at in Northport, to do still relatively small brewery with maybe more of tasting room, retail space business versus distribution as wide as I eventually want to be. And so we're actually, one place is right here in Centerport.
Wow.
Yeah.
You can tell me later.
Very, no, I'll tell everybody. Landlady's really great. It's on Washington Drive. Oh, wow. Years ago, it was a bar. It's incredibly tiny. Yeah. But still bigger than my garage.
Okay.
Trying to get the town to get its head around the fact that we're going to turn what used to be a bar into a small brewery with a tasting room.
Is it right here? The store is at the block?
Yeah, yeah, on Washington Drive. This used to be the one empty spot. That used to be the Caddy Shack and then Centerport Pub. And
that makes me so happy.
So, but yeah, we met with the planning department a couple of days ago this week, and there's nothing in the zoning code that allows for it.
Okay.
If we wanted to open up a tinsmith or a blacksmith, that's actually still in the code.
Wow.
So I could just brew there. They're fine with that, but okay. I couldn't have a tasting room and sell. Or I could just have a tasting room and sell, but I couldn't also brew. It's the combination of the two.
Either or.
Right. Either one of those, not both.
Yeah.
So we're trying to work things out with the town.
Okay.
If that doesn't work, there's a place in Smithtown that we like.
Right.
We've been talking to the owner there, former deli on 25 Jericho Turnpike.
Okay. Great.
So that's the kind of space we're looking at. Yeah. And I'm looking at more spaces tomorrow. So nothing settled. I was hoping I'd have news.
That's okay.
But I don't.
This is still news.
Yeah, yeah.
I have news. We're going to remove some magnets and go crack some skulls.
Right.
And possibly open a blacksmith.
Yeah. I mean, I found talking to other brewers, finding a space. Dan and Greg said it was the worst part of their whole journey was finding a space.
Yeah.
The guys at Finback, Basil and Kevin, they described the process as grueling, which sounds like hyperbole.
Until
you really go through it, because you know, you're trying to find the right space.
Yeah.
The building itself has to have certain criteria, you know, solid floors, good size ceilings, adequate power, you know, et cetera. Just the basic bones of the building. And then the location, well, you look at it, say, okay, is it, are people going to want to come here or not, whatever type of things. And then you have to deal with the landlord. We've been finding a lot of landlords are kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got to deal with the towns, the municipalities, with zoning and such. So there's a lot of moving parts. A lot of moving parts, and you can get most of those things on the list right, but like with the spot in Centerport,
right,
if the town says, no, you can't do it, you have to appeal it, that's another 6 to 8 months.
Right.
We're just going to move on.
Yeah. You don't have any more time.
No, no. So this has been, and talking to other brewers, I mean, you know.
I'm sure it's a full-time job. It's like when you're applying for a new job. This is
Looking for a job is your job.
Yeah, right, it's a full-time. Are you, I noticed you said you're looking at locations tomorrow. Obviously, we'll get back to what we were just talking about previously, but looking at locations tomorrow, are you still working your day job?
No.
Okay.
Oh, I was laid off.
All right.
Yeah, they finally got to me. Work in publishing. American Institute of Physics down in Melville. Published peer-reviewed physics journals.
Okay.
And for the past 3 years, just wave after wave after wave of layoffs.
Yeah.
And the water kept getting a little closer to my feet, and finally, bloop, down I went.
It's interesting, because when I was laid off, it was definitely happened at the right time. So I'm sure for you, in some respects, it's, you know...
Yeah, yeah.
It's okay that it's now... Right. So to speak.
Well, because I can spend the time on finding that space, you know, brewing as much as I can. Dan and Greg at Long Island have been great because I've actually been brewing every once in a while out there.
Very nice.
They're great dudes.
They're terrific.
Very generous.
It was almost perfect timing because I was laid off just about when the Northport thing was supposed to happen. So I would have just transitioned right into that.
Yeah,
that would have been too sweet.
But yeah, it would have been too sweet.
Yeah.
Life doesn't go that well. So.
Well, Paul, we obviously wish you, you know, the best of luck with finding a new location, securing that location, and opening your front doors. If something happens in Centerport or any surrounding town, and you need Travis there.
All right, thanks. All right.
Always just a phone call away.
Thank you.
He'll bring his thirst and his presence.
I'm like, please, just let him open close to my house. Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
So Paul's obviously, you know, very persistent in wanting to achieve his goal of getting his operation open in full effect.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely a kudos to you in that sense, for following your passion and wanting to expand that as much as possible.
Keep on keeping on.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm half Polish, it helps. Yeah, I just keep getting up.
And kind of when I was trying to not murder Paul's last name, in my head I kept thinking...
Can you say it?
My name's Paul D, and I get respect. Being cashing the jewelry is what I expect. So I think at the very least we could throw him a support, if not cash your jewelry. So once he's open, then bring the cash.
Thank you.
Hop the jewelry for cash.
Right. And actually, the collaboration with Steve Pominski, the Polish beer, we're really working hard on trying to find a Polish word that no one can pronounce for the name of the beer.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, right.
So people will be like,
I'm just going to start spelling it to you.
Right. Even that stuff.
Yeah. So, upcoming events. Besides Winterfest on Friday, December 19th.
19th is what I heard.
Which you all must come down to.
Yeah. At the Bartlett and Bayshore. Then in January, there's going to be in Rocky Point, their annual Nano Cascale Festival.
Snowstorm.
Always a great day inside, and then treacherous nightmare getting home.
It is a great time, though.
Yeah.
It's great. And Paul?
Out of Twisty Roads, I get lost coming home.
And we sang with Paul last year.
That was fun.
We sang a John Prine song.
Yep, good. Over John Prine.
Or at least we tried to sing John Prine song.
I mangled something there. In February, I'm going to try the hops and props as well. I'm actually going to be trying new farmers markets, winter markets also, because I sell at farmers markets, as you know.
And I heard they actually don't allow alcohol sales at the Huntington.
The Huntington one, because it's in a school.
Okay.
You know, just because I drive there during school days in the van with the beer. Come on, kids. They don't want me in the
tinted windows.
No, they don't want it there. And actually, there are a couple of other farmers markets in the winter that are in churches. They also have a problem.
Okay.
I brought sacramental wine. Maybe I could pull it off. I'm going to try the Riverhead Farmers Market.
Great.
Matt and Lori apparently are not doing it.
Okay.
This year?
Yeah, we sold them last year.
Yeah.
That's right. You weren't allowed to taste it, but they were allowed to sell it.
Yeah. So, and they're hopefully doing better and better at their place out in Riverhead.
Yeah, they're great. And Mustache. I don't know if I told you, Mustache is going to be part of this year's Winterfest as well.
Oh, awesome. Good.
December 19th. Everyone come down to the Cortland.
Right.
So far, it's actually Blind Bat and Mustache, and we've reached out to a few other people. So. Yeah. Even if it's just you two, it's going to be...
Even if it's just Mustache, it's great.
Yeah.
It's
going to be a great time. Mike always wears his little elf costume and dances around underneath the snow machine.
It's true.
Wow.
And Bobby just yells and gets everyone
Snow machine!
So that's great. So we want to thank Paul.
Thank you.
And Blind Matt.
Thank you, gentlemen.
For stopping by.
Him at the local farmers markets.
Check
follow him on the...
BlindBatBrewery.com. I list where I am, what I'm bringing.
Yeah. Or on Twitter, it's Blind Bat Brewer.
Blind Bat Brewer on Twitter, also on Facebook. So I try and keep it all up to date.
All the regular spots on the internet.
Yeah. It's most of the interwebs I'm covering. I'm not on the picture thing, the Instagrammy.
Yeah.
No Instagrammy yet for Blind Bat.
That's okay. Those are tough.
Yeah.
So again, we look forward to seeing everybody at the Cortland for the Beer Amigos 4th Annual Winterfest on Friday, December 19th, with special beers from Blind Bat, Mustache, and more. Mike's going to be there. Travis is going to be there. Paul's going to be there. Yeah. It's going to be a good time. So until next time.
Adios, amigos.
Thanks for listening.
Adios.
We are the Beer Amigos. We like beer. We are amigos. And that's why we call ourselves the Beer Amigos.
Everybody.
We are the Beer Amigos. We like beer.